Episode 1. Today marks the beginning of my 11th annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. Every Sunday during the month of October for the past 11 years, every year I've been a priest, I've been preaching about the good news of the beautiful moral teaching given to us by Almighty God concerning the dignity of every human life. This 11th year of our pro-life mini-series falls during an important 40th anniversary year. What were you doing 40 years ago? My dear parents were getting married exactly 40 years ago today. What were you doing 40 years ago? Specifically, on the 25th of July, 1968. 40 years ago, on the feast of St. James, the 25th of July, 1968, Pope Paul VI, of blessed memory, wrote a very important encyclical letter that would radically change the once loyal obedience of the faithful toward Holy Mother Church. Do you know the name of that letter? It was called Humanae Vitae. In Latin, that means human life. Here it is. I brought it with me. It's really tiny. There's only 31 paragraphs, 16 pages. That includes a page and a half of footnotes. That's it. This little document, Humanae Vitae, on human life. Now, I would like to borrow a little exercise from Dr. Janet Smith. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to text message your reply because your phone should be off, right? But just in your head, we'll go through this exercise. The answers are usually incredibly discouraging for me, but here's what Dr. Janet Smith says. How many of you have ever heard of this document, Humanae Vitae? A few. Good. Now, how many of you have ever read Humanae Vitae? I would venture to guess almost none. It's almost zero. And now, the final question. How many of you disagree with Humanae Vitae? Almost every hand goes up. It's almost 99%. Interesting. How can you disagree with something you've never read? How can you disagree if you haven't given the church's moral teaching serious, prayerful, obedient reflection for more than 3 minutes? It's a good question, isn't it? And yet the church's teaching on morality is of grave importance. Why? You might remember that a few months ago, we talked about the Pope's infallible teaching authority. Remember that whole discussion? We talked about how the Pope is not infallible, and you went, oh, heresy. And then I said, remember that the Pope is not personally infallible, but he can teach infallibly without error on what? Toothpaste? Paper clips? No, we said he could teach infallibly on faith and morality. and morality. This document on human life concerns morality. And so it is part of the Pope's infallible teaching authority. And this is what paragraph 4 of Humanae Vitae says. It's a very beautiful paragraph. Pope Paul VI says, "Let no Catholic be heard to assert that the interpretation of the natural moral law is outside the competence of the Church's teaching authority. It is, in fact, indisputable that Jesus Christ, when he communicated his divine power to Peter and to the other apostles and sent them to teach all nations his commandments, that Jesus Christ constituted them as authentic guardians and interpreters of the whole moral law, not only the law of the gospel, but also the natural law. The reason being that the natural law declares the will of God, and its faithful observance is necessary for men's eternal salvation." Paragraph 4 of Humanae Vitae. What does that mean? Simple. The Church can teach infallibly regarding morality. Simple. In other words, the Church is the authentic guardian and interpreter of the moral law. Not only morality found in the gospel, but also morality found in nature. The Church can and does teach without error about how we are to live our life, because it is necessary for our salvation. So, what does Humanae Vitae really say? Since most of us haven't read it, what does it really say? I propose that during this 40th anniversary year of the document Humanae Vitae, and in this 11th year of our pro-life miniseries, that we take a closer look. I propose the following outline. Today, in episode 1, we will discuss the foundation of human life, and the foundation of human life is married love. And that's what we'll talk about today. Next week, in episode 2, we will reflect, given the foundation of this married love, which things are contrary and opposed to this married love. Which things are forbidden regarding human life? This is the part that, paragraph 14, that 99% of people disagree with. Then in episode 3, we will talk about the evil consequences of disobeying the Church's moral teaching. This will be the most fascinating of all, because Pope Paul VI predicted what would happen if we disobeyed the Lord's natural moral law. He predicted it 40 years ago in 1968, and all his predictions came true. Then in episode 4, we will end on an encouraging note, and we'll talk about the good fruits that will result in courageously following God's law. So, let's begin. With the foundation of human life in married love, we'll talk about two paragraphs only, paragraphs 8 and 9. Paragraph 8 begins like this. Married love reveals its true nature and nobility when we realize that it derives from God and finds its supreme origin in Him who is love. Oh, isn't that beautiful? We could begin a whole married retreat just starting with that line, that married love is noble. Oh, it's a good word, isn't it? It's noble, and it finds its true essence and origin in God. This point is a foundational building block to what we want to talk about. God created marriage. It was love's idea. because God is love. Hence, he says, marriage then is far from being the effect of chance or the result of the blind evolution of natural forces. It is in reality the wise and provident institution of God the Creator. There it is again. Married love is not an accident. Ooh, it's not by chance. It was the wise idea of a loving God. That's the first building block. It's necessary. It's essential. Then in paragraph 9, Pope Paul VI talks about the four characteristics of married love, which are simply free, total, faithful, and fruitful. Every couple that I prepare for the sacrament of marriage has to have those memorized. And so if some of you are smiling, if you've been through my marriage preparation course before, you already have those down. You have to have them memorized. They should flow off your tongue. Free, total, faithful, fruitful love. Free, total, faithful, fruitful love. Free, total, faithful, fruitful love. What I don't tell them is, where did I get it from? Humanae Vitae, paragraph 9. It's nothing I came up with. Free, total, faithful, fruitful love. Pope Paul VI says that love is first of all free. This love is not merely a question of natural instinct or emotional drive. Oh, that's wonderful. We're not just animals ruled by our emotions and our natural instincts and our passions. It is, he says, above all, an act of free will. For the human person, love is first of all free. It's a decision. It's a choice that you make based in your intellect, not on your emotional passions and drives. It's a decision, a free choice you make to spend the rest of your life with this other person. Second, marriage is total. Pope Paul VI says it is a love which is total, that very special form of personal friendship. I love that line. This very special form of personal friendship in which the husband and wife generously share everything. Everything. Total. A total self-gift to your spouse. That's your wedding present. Your body, your blood, your soul, your personality, everything. Not just your bank account, not just your car, not just your house, you. Total gift of yourself. The third characteristic is faithful. He says simply, married love is faithful and exclusive of all others until death. And he says that this fidelity of husband and wife sometimes presents difficulties, but it is not impossible to be faithful until death. Fourth and finally, married love is fruitful. Pope Paul VI says, and finally, this love is creative of life. For it is not exhausted by the loving communion between husband and wife, but is destined to go beyond this to bring new life into being. Isn't that beautiful? It just doesn't end with the husband loving the wife and the wife loving the husband, but their one love united goes out of themselves toward a third person, their children. And so, lest any of you say, you're not preaching on the gospel today. Oh, no. How contrary. The readings today are all about bearing fruit. Good fruit, not bad fruit, not wild grapes. Beautiful, juicy fruit. Tasty, the choicest, the best. And married love brings forth the choicest, the juiciest, the best fruits of all. New souls to build up the kingdom of God. Okay, so let's review the key principles, the foundation that we're going to build next week's discussion. First, Almighty God, who is love, created marriage. It was his idea, not the government's, not yours, not your passions. It wasn't created by accident. It was created by God. And married love has four characteristics: free, total, faithful, and fruitful. My brothers and sisters, this free, total, faithful, fruitful love given to us by God is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and gracious and excellent and worthy of praise. My brothers and sisters, keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard from me. And then the peace of God will be with you.